Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back in on the drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Before we replay David DeJesus, I want to replay it because this was the interview that you guys requested the most to hear from a former Royal. Rob has done a fantastic job this week in catching up with former Royals. A lot of you want us to do this during the Chiefs bye week, which is actually a really good idea. We'll talk about it. I had a lot of fun this week catching up with Royals players that we just haven't heard from in a very long time. We talked to Jimmy Gobble this week. Daryl May was on the show this week. Aaron Crow was on the show earlier this week. We got parade stories from Johnny Gomes. This was a really fun week of catching up with former Royals. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. David DeJesus was the most popular Royal that was requested. He did join us earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up in a little bit. Before we do that, Rob, I have two questions. Well, one's a question, one's a comment, and then we'll play the David DeJesus. So we were talking about The Thing earlier. So if you guys haven't been keeping up, I have been watching an 80s movie every day this summer and giving my review. I watched The Thing. Now, Rob, I want your honest opinion. Maybe you're a bad person to ask this, but you have seen enough scary movies. Anytime I see a black person in a scary movie, I just assume that they're going to die very quickly in the movie. Are you the same way? Like when I was watching The Thing and they showed the black dude in there, I was like, oh my God. He's about to get eaten by the monster in the first 7 minutes of it. Is this something like everybody knows, or is this something that like we have just like built up in our minds that's not really based on anything? Because if you remember Scream 2, I think Scream did a really good job of like all the cliches when it comes to scary movies. Jada Pinkett died in the very beginning of the movie. Omar Epps died in the very beginning of the movie. That was it. Is this something like everybody knows that black people die really early in these movies, or is that something we just made up?
So I've watched enough scary movies where it does happen enough for the stereotype, the cliche, whatever the terminology you want to use is. It happens enough like in comedies, they make fun of it, and I'm always like, oh, it's just like a cliche. But the handful of scary movies I have watched, it does go down that way. So I think it's both a cliche and a fact. It's become such a cliche that now people joke about it and like really lean into it. But yeah, I think that's how it goes down.
I'm just saying most of the time, I just assume that that's what's going to happen. 913-576-7610. I don't know. Like this is one of those two America things. Like I just always assume that the black person's going to die always in the movie. Like, I don't think there's any chance he makes it to the end. Never. I never think that in this scary movie. They're always going to be the one to die. I do have another comment before we play David DeJesus, Rob. You have seen enough scary movies to know kids know everything. When in the scary movie, every scary movie always has the kid that tries to tell the adult that something weird is going on. And the adult doesn't want to listen to the kid. Like, randomly, your 7-year-old has a new imaginary friend and bruises on her arm. Just has bruises on her arm. She's like, this is my imaginary friend. And she's like pointing to it, and this thing's like grabbing her arm. And you're like,
She's trying to tell you there's a spirit in here. Why do you not listen? And then an hour later, the parents are crying, telling the kid how much you didn't love the kid enough to listen to him. Now don't try to listen to the kid. I'm telling you, in scary movies, Rob, the kid always knows 100% of the time. No kid in a scary movie has ever led the family astray.
Yeah, and not only do they not lead them astray, they sometimes weirdly are like the hero of the day. You know what I'd be at 8 years old if I thought a scary thing was going down? Not the leader for my family. I'd be the one being like, something's amiss. I gotta take care of myself. But how many times have you seen the kids like, oh, this is happening. The parents don't believe it. And the parents then eventually believe him. And the kid's like, don't worry. I have the path to safety. Huh? You're eight. Makes no sense.
Yeah, every time.
You can't even reach the cookie jar, but for some reason you're like, take this back road and we'll be safe. Makes no sense.
Another great thing about scary movies now, I'm just running through every cliche that happens in scary movies. Every time one of the characters get into a car, the bad guy is always directly in front of the car. Always directly in front of the car. It'll be pitch black. They somehow turn into Usain Bolt and get to the car. They always like fiddle with the keys. The moment they turn the engine on, the bad guy is right in front of the car.
And they never drive forward. You're in a motorized vehicle. Hit the gas.
Every single time.
That person's on foot and they're like, oh, he got us. They didn't. What? What are you talking about?
Turn the key. Every single time.
Drop it in. Hit 60 miles an hour. That guy ain't stopping you.
It just makes me laugh. Every time. That's what happens. So you're like, how? How did he catch up? We haven't seen him sprint at any point. He has just been briskly walking this entire time. This other person has been in a dead sprint. How do they catch up to the car so fast? It never makes any sense in scary movies how that happens.
That or like Michael Myers, who's, you know, a killer, somehow takes out an entire police department of trained people in there to bring him down. He's one man with a knife. How does the SWAT team not get this man? For some reason, every bad guy is the most elusive person on earth.
Who's died more in a movie? Is it Michael Myers or Han from Fast and the Furious?
I think it's now Han, but before this latest run of the Fast and Furious, it was Michael Myers, but I think now Han has overtaken him.
I swear to you, they have locked Michael Myers in a basement and lit the basement on fire in three separate Halloweens. Bro, at some point, Michael got to have a kid we don't know about, and that's the kid that takes over. Michael can't continue to commit these crimes, bro. He's been committing these crimes since the 70s, and he has been locked, trapped in a basement, and set on fire three separate times. How is he still around? Coming up, we'll allow you guys an opportunity to answer your questions. You know how we end every Friday, 913-576-7610. So this was a lot of fun this week. I really enjoyed the opportunity to catch up with so many former Royals greats and so many Royals fan favorites. There was one guest who was requested the most to come on the show this week, and that person was David DeJesus. We start off with what he's been up to since retirement.
Oh, man. I'm doing good. I'm living out on the West Coast. And my son is 11 years old now. It's crazy because he was born in 2010, my last year in Kansas City. And now he's 11, and I'm actually a coach for his baseball team. So it's a weird ride, but it's awesome.
How is that going?
It's cool. You know, when I was playing, I was like, man, I don't ever want to coach. You know, that seems like such a crazy job to have, but now being with his travel team and just coaching up these kids, I understand the importance of good coaching. And I'm trying to be that for him, and who knows where it's going to go from here. But the most important thing is me being there for my son and his friends on his team.
So we've been taking fan requests and allowing people to let us know who they want on the show this week. You were the number one person that people wanted on the show this week. What is it like to know that you're that kind of fan favorite still here in Kansas City?
That's awesome to hear. I'm so appreciative of the fans there. You know, they're just high-quality fans in Kansas City. You know, we didn't have really good – we weren't putting the best baseball out there on the field. But I'm thankful that they respected the way I went out there and played the game because I wanted to have fun and give my best every time out there. And it sounds like they appreciated that.
So you make your major league debut in 2003, but you made it later in the season, so you sort of missed the fun and excitement that season was here in Kansas City.
Oh, totally missed all that. I got there in September and they were already out of it, but it was just a great time being around just the guys. And this is a good story. 2003, I get called up. They're playing the Texas Rangers. And walk into the park. My locker is between, on one side, it's Carlos Beltran. On the other side, it's Mike Sweeney. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. All right, I'd be seen, not heard. Push my chair all the way into the locker and just do my thing. So Mike Sweeney walks up behind me. He's like, Dave, stand up. And I stand up, and he's like, he gives me the biggest hug. You know, Mike Sweeney's a hugger. He gives me a big hug. He's like, hey, you belong here. And that's something to this day, kind of, you know, that could have been a change career path type of moment. And he understood how valuable supporting people was. And whenever I get to see him, I always thank him for those words.
Right now, we're talking to former Royals outfielder David DeJesus. So you actually replaced Carlos Beltran once he got traded to the Houston Astros. You didn't get a lot of time around Beltran. Was he one of your mentors? Was he a guy who kind of helped you early on in your career?
You know, not really. Not really as a guy that I can talk to. But watching him work before the game, during the game, after the game, it was, you know, hitting the weights when he needed to. The amount of time he put into his swing, just the way he attacked the game, was something that I watched from the sideline. And I was like, man, just the way he was, didn't let everything affect him. It was like, all right, if I went 0-for-4, if he went 4-for-4, you would not know the way he handled himself, you know, how he was doing. That's what I saw, and that's leadership sometimes. There's leadership like Mike Sweeney where he's going to talk to you, he's going to love on you. But there's other leadership where he go and does the right thing, and then other people see that and they want to follow that as well.
You're one of the few players that actually played in Old Kauffman and New Kauffman. So the stadium was renovated from 07 to 09, and I remember that first day once it was completely done and the excitement that was there. What was it like to see the stadium transform basically your entire career?
It was awesome. The transformation that stadium made, it's one of the best in the game. To be honest with you, still, I played it all the stadiums. But when you go into Kansas City, you see that big sign, you see all the fire along the fence, it's one of the prettiest stadiums to watch a baseball game at. And, you know, they had some good ball there for a while. Now they're, you know, they're starting to reload and starting to bring some new guys up, but it is one of the best stadiums. If you're a fan, if there's a stadium you want to go to, I'd say go to Kansas City because it's visually just one of the prettiest stadiums to sit in.
So we talk about transformations. You also saw the transformation from pre-Dayton Moore to when Dayton started to implement his system and kind of his vision was starting to build. What was the difference you noticed in the Royals over from when you got there to when you finally left as Dayton got more comfortable in his position?
Dayton was just one of those guys that, you know, he's coming from over from the Atlanta Braves. You're like, oh, is this going to be Atlanta Braves? You know, they had to wear collared shirts all the time to the ballpark. You just didn't know what to expect. So that first couple of years, he was kind of just implementing just being around us. But once he got comfortable, it was just getting to know him was the biggest thing. This dude really handled people the right way. He really was up front, talked to you how it was, straight shot you. And you can see the way he handled the COVID, where he took care of all the people that were working there. He was one of the first guys in baseball to step up and pledge to the workers that he's going to continue doing that. So he's just a guy that really cares for people. And that's what the biggest thing Dayton Moore did for the franchise. He cared about people.
One thing, David, that's really cool is to see a lot of former players like yourself say, hey, I know we didn't win as much as I wanted to during this time, but genuinely be happy for the city, happy for the franchise to see them have the success in 2014 and 2015, where a lot of former Royals have come back, a lot of former Royals sort of showed their support for what the Royals did a few years ago.
Yes, it was awesome to see because I remember having the Mike Moustakas, having the Eric Hosmers, take BP with us. They were the first round pick. They come, they take BP with us. And you just see how special these guys were. And then you have Greinke there, you know, at that time. You just see things were starting to build. And sometimes we're the subtractions that made the additions to get to the, where they needed to be. So, you know, I always have a place in my heart for Kansas City because that was the first team that drafted me. You know, I spent 8 years there. So that's always, if anyone asks me, where's your favorite place to play? It always starts with Kansas City because I was able to have an opportunity to grow my career there and establish myself as a big league player. But it's so great to see what they did, what they accomplished, because they changed the game. They really did. They were the first one that did that bullpen thing. They just had three studs on the back end, two closed games out. You really only had six innings to score, and their offense did enough to get the job done.
Right now we're talking to former Royal David DeJesus. He was on the club from 2003 to 2010. What was it like to finally be bumped up to be a starter where Carlos Beltran gets moved out and then you became the Royal starting fielder and you had a lot of success early on in your career?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to 2004. So I didn't make the team out of spring training. I thought I was going to. I do good in AAA. And at that time, probably around, I think early June, I got called up. And I go 1-for-23, and I'm hating my life. I'm walking to the ballpark every day, please, saying, please, I hope my name is not in the lineup. That's when you know you're messed up. In the big leagues, you're telling yourself that. So I finally get sent down, and it took me a while to really get my – it was more mentally. I was beaten up mentally. So it took me like a month and a half to get back my swing back, thinking that I can play in the big leagues. So we were in Louisiana playing against the Houston Astros' AAA team. We got rained out that day. So we're all sitting around. There's a big TV in the locker room. We're sitting around. We're watching ESPN. Across the screen on the game, it says, alert, Carlos Beltran just got traded to the Astros. At that point, Mike Gerschle calls me into his office, and he's like, hey, Dave, this is your opportunity. Now, you know, you went up, you struggled last time. Now they want to see you grow, and here's your spot. You have the center field spot open. Go and take it. So I get to the airport, and funny is John Buck was a piece of the trade from the Astros side. We were playing against that team. We met at the plane. It actually ends up being he's my best man at my wedding. So that was pretty sick. But after that, I hit 309 for the rest of the season, was the Major League Player of the Year that year. So it was such an up and down season. But that season gave me the confidence to understand that I can play with these guys and I belong in the big league. And I was able just to continue that mentality throughout the rest of my time in Kansas City.
It's funny you talk about the confidence and you really feeling like you hit your stride. So my producer, Rob, the person that booked this interview, he thinks that you should be in the Royals Hall of Fame. Do you think you should be in the Royals Hall of Fame?
I mean, that's stuff for people to talk about. I know that I played some good baseball over there. You know, I really did. I feel like my best years were in Kansas City. So that's up to them. If they want to put me in, great. I'm always down to go back to KC. But if not, I still know that I gave my heart and soul to Kansas City. So that's all that I can really hang my hat on.
So you get traded in 2010 to the Oakland Athletics. You talk about Dayton sort of being a stand-up individual. What about that conversation do you remember when he tells you? Because you did play good baseball here in Kansas City. I mean, your last year in Kansas City, you hit 318. You had a great year, and then you get traded to another team.
I know, and I think it was money. I was like, I had a $6 million option. So, you know, Kansas City at that time, once you're making a little bit more money, they were always looking to trade, and that's the way it was for a small market team. So I remember I spent my off season in Chicago that year, and I just got done working out, and I'm like looking at my phone. I'm like, why is Dayton calling me? This is weird. Okay. get on the phone. And he's like, you know, you're a great player. We're so thankful for what you've done. And then there's always that but. Because I got that same but when I got traded from the Chicago Cubs to the Washington Nationals from Theo Epstein. So I knew, I already had that but from Dayton Moore. But it was but, you know, we just feel like this is the best move for our team moving forward. And, you know, I was like, you know, it's kind of a shock because you just plan on, you want to be that player that plays on one team through your career. And I saw the good things happening. You see the minor leagues, they're starting to load up down there, and you wanted to be a part of it. But baseball's a business, and you understand that, you know, sometimes guys got to go. There's subtraction that adds to addition on the long end. So I think that's what it was. But, you know, Dayton was great. He told me how it was. And, you know, it's just like, okay, now I'm going to Oakland. Probably the least of, there were two teams that I did not want to go to, was Tampa or Oakland. And I was like, oh, man. All right, here we go. But it was cool.
And then when you think about it, you ended up playing in both Tampa and Oakland.
That's hilarious, right? The way the Lord works sometimes.
Last thing here, David, and I'm happy that you got the opportunity to come on. What do you remember most about your time in Kansas City? I know you didn't have the most on-the-field success that you would have liked to have while you were here, but you certainly were a fan favorite. It sounds like you enjoyed your time here. What do you think most fondly on your start here in Kansas City?
No, I think it's just that the steps of becoming a big league ball player is the growth of, I mean, getting drafted from a small town in New Jersey to stepping onto that big league field, and man, like, how am I going to make a career of this? But then the ups and downs of life through baseball, it grew me as a person and grew me as a baseball player. So, you know, the fans were great. They were there. It's just, we didn't have, you know, enough firepower to compete with the White Sox, the Twins, those teams at that time. But it doesn't take away from me enjoying being a big league baseball player out of Kansas City. I bought a house there. My home was in Kansas City for those years. So, you know, there's nothing like being a big league baseball in Kansas City. So it was fun. I'm thankful. I built my family there. So, you know, I just want to thank everyone for showing up during those times.
That is former Royals outfielder David DeJesus joining us on the show today. He played for the Royals from 2003 to 2010. He was our most requested guest to join us this week as we celebrate the All-Star Game. David, yeah. Man, it was an honor to catch up with you, man. I'm really happy you got a chance to come on today. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's David DeJesus joining us on the show today. I had a lot of fun this week catching up with a lot of former Royals, reliving my childhood, and getting a chance to talk to players and members of the 2003 team was certainly a lot of fun. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. If you missed any of our interviews, you can be sure to check them out on the podcast page, 913-576-7610, the text line. The website, excuse me, is 610sports.com. The National Cash Contest code word is POEM, P-O-E-M, POEM, P-O-E-M. Text that to 72881. Your National Cash Contest code word for the 5 o'clock hour is POEM, P-O-E-M. Text that to 72881. Coming up, we've got some sporting news regarding my favorite player. We'll tell you what it is. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to ask your questions as we end the show. We do every Friday. It is the segment that you control. 913-576-7610. Ask us anything. Go ahead and start putting your questions in the queue. 913-576-7610. Rob, it doesn't sound like we have breaking news, but it certainly feels like it is heading in that direction.
Correct.
Now, I didn't start keeping up with Gianluca Busio until about 3 weeks ago. In fact, I didn't know that Gianluca Busio existed until about 3 weeks ago. No shade towards the man. Sporting don't bother me. I don't bother Sporting. We sort of have that agreement. But ever since you had him come on the show, I genuinely like Busio. I watch soccer specifically to watch him. I'm not watching it for any other reason. I'm not watching it because I enjoy it. I'm not watching it to support Team USA. I'm watching it to support Team Busio. It sounds like he's about to be on another team here in the next 2 weeks.
Yes, this is according to Fabrizio Romano, who is basically the soccer version of Adam Schefter. I know that doesn't matter to people, but imagine soccer Adam Schefter.
No, that counts here.
He tweeted out earlier today, Venezia, which is a team in Venice, is in advanced talks for 19-year-old midfielder Gianluca Busio from Sporting Kansas City. He reported the deal is in the final stages. However, Sean Goodwin over the Kansas City Star has been told to his knowledge.
Sorry. Does Sean Goodwin count as friend of the show?
Yeah, he's been on multiple times.
Has he been on three times?
Yes, he came on twice last summer because of the Soccer's Back tournament down in Florida. And then he came on once during Anything But Day. That's three.
Okay, all right. Sean Goodwin, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
I forgot those appearances, but hey, Sean Goodwin, you friend of the show.
Hey, times were thin. You guys were watching a lot of soccer last summer. Maybe not you, but you the people.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But, yo, Sean Goodwin, shout out to you, bro.
He's been told by someone with very intimate knowledge of the situation there is no finalized deal for Gianluca Busio as of now, and do not expect anything imminently. So the soccer Adam Schefter says deal's being finalized. Kansas City Star beat writer says nothing is imminent. Read between the lines. Sounds like something could be coming in the near future because Busio continues to play great on both the club and national scale, and multiple Italian clubs are hot on his trail.
Okay. So let me get this straight. I would say, Rob, there have only been three Sporting players that I really liked. Like, I would consider myself to be a fan of. Kyrie Shelton.
Still in the club, by the way.
I like him. Matt Beisler.
Yep.
Matt Beisler was like legit friend of the show. Like, come in studio, friend of the show. I have been around him in social settings. Matt Beisler, friend of the show.
All-time good guy, too.
And Gianluca Busio. We got to find a new guy on the team. I just found a guy on the team. I just became a fan of someone on the team. That means if I want to see him play, I got to go see him play here, like, soon. Or I just won't get the opportunity to see my guy play soccer?
Well, yes, but he'll be in the Gold Cup if they go all the way to the final of the Gold Cup. That'll be August 1st.
Is that here in Kansas City?
The last match in Kansas City is Sunday.
So I got to go on Sunday?
You got to go on Sunday.
You know somebody?
I mean, it's technically sold out.
You don't know nobody?
I mean, I can put in some calls for you.
Rob, how can you be soccer guy if you ain't got the soccer hookup?
I'm also going to the match on Sunday. I ain't letting the other people in my circles.
I don't need two premiums. Just get me in the building. Just give me SRO. I don't need the premiums.
Mister, I want that crispy Wi-Fi that I don't refuse to send the 400 level guy is out here not wanting premiums.
Someone on the text line said the attendance at the Gold Cup last Sunday and Thursday have been embarrassing. If KC wants a
World Cup game, they need to fill the stands for every game. I don't know nothing about the attendance.
Attendance wasn't as bad as the TV lit on for last Sunday because a lot of the crowd was on
who
the
they
near.
Play?
They played last Sunday. They played Haiti.
All right. Someone said he has two tickets, but he's taking his wife. I don't know why he told me that. I don't know how that helps me.
Sick flex, dude.
I don't know how that helps me. Someone said you can get tickets on SeatGeek. I think you have it understand. I think you have it understand a misunderstanding of what I'm asking for. I'm not asking to pay for two tickets. I'm asking for two tickets to magically appear.
The hookup isn't give me $45, go in the stadium.
Yeah, I'm asking for two tickets to appear. Guys, there's tickets on StubHub. Yeah, I know. I'm not interested in them. I'm interested in Ticket Oak. That's what I'm interested in. And tickets coming off the tree. That's what I'm interested in. I ain't interested in paying for no tickets. Rob, what's the point of you being our soccer guy if you can't get soccer tickets, bro? Come on now.
I'm soccer guy with the sporting people. The U.S. soccer people are a different
Rob,
people.
This isn't right. Rob, if you really wanted to go to a Mizzou game, I could hook you up. If you really wanted to go, I would help you. Someone says, I have two extra tickets to a Mizzou home game because no one goes. I don't know why Missouri just caught that stray for no reason.
First off, is it football or basketball? Because football, I hear all the time on this show about how the recruiting is great and how their games are worth going to. So I don't believe you when it comes to no one goes to Mizzou games because football.
Now, basketball. I would say good seats are still available, but people are definitely still going. Definitely still going to the games.
Someone on the text line, man, that guy's wife will take you. Hey, that's an idea.
If she wants to go to the game, I'm happy to go. I just want to see Jean-Luc. We don't have to make it a whole thing. I'm just saying two SROs, Rob. Put in an official request for two SROs. I'm cool with walking around. I don't need to sit down. Game ain't that long. I can figure something out.
I mean, the game is literally 90 minutes.
So I ended up making my quarterback list. And then I ended up balling the quarterback list up because I have absolutely no clue in what to do with Tom Brady. The resume, what he accomplished last year, would put him in the top five. But can I, in good conscience, have Tom Brady as a top five quarterback in the league? So Bleacher Report has the top 10 quarterbacks. ESPN does its own Bleacher Report, so I'm reading it. So the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, according to ESPN, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Brady at 3, Russell Wilson at 4. Ask yourself this question. Tomorrow, if you were starting a franchise in the NFL, and we're talking about you can build the best roster for one season. Because obviously you would take Russell for the age. But you're starting it. You're trying to put the best team together to go win the Super Bowl this upcoming year. There are those of you that would take Tom Brady over Russell Wilson. Stop it. You know that that's a lie. Josh Allen. You would take Brady over Josh Allen? Like, maybe I just need to quit being a Brady hater and I can acknowledge it. I would take all of the quarterbacks behind Brady ahead of him, if I'm being completely honest with you. So Brady's at 3, Russell's at 4, Allen's at 5, Stafford's at 6, Dak at 7, Lamar at 8, Herbert at 9, Kyler Murray at 10. Stafford to me is a questionable one, but I definitely would just take the younger, more lively arm out of the two. But how could you take Brady over Justin Herbert for this upcoming season? What is it based on? Experience? Like, after experience, what else? Experience is a fine answer. If you're like, hey, Brady's been there before, I know, proven, cool. After you get past experience, what are you doing? What's next? What's the next reason of taking Brady over Justin Herbert? What's the next reason of taking Brady over Kyler Murray? If I'm building my team, I saw Brady in a less than ideal situation. His last year with the Patriots, he was terrible. He then went to a team in a good situation. Now, I'm willing to admit that I was wrong on Brady. I thought Brady had nothing left in the tank. And he's still got a fourth of a tank left. I don't know what kind of gas tank he has. He's got some kind of Buick, because the gas mileage in that thing is phenomenal. But I don't know how you could take Tom Brady over Dak Prescott. I don't understand. So, Rob, I didn't want to give my list and then argue over Brady the whole time. I'd rather just argue over Brady the entire time. I would not have Brady in my top 10. For the upcoming season, I could not have Brady in good conscience. I think Brady is like the 13th best quarterback in the league. I thought he was very pedestrian last postseason. I thought if Kansas City could have even come close to playing their game and put any amount of pressure on Brady, I don't think Brady played that great in the Super Bowl. I don't think he was great. I think he was fine. I thought that was the best game he played by far in the postseason. I don't think Brady was great in the postseason. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't give you my list in good faith, and I couldn't put Brady in the top 10. So I figured you'd be mad at me anyway. So I would just tell you that I do not have Brady in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. We'll let you guys ask your questions. 913-576-7610. It's the segment that you control. Ask us anything next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can.
Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
It's Text line 913-576-7610. It is the segment that you control. It is Ask Us Anything. It is very simple. You text in a question. If I like the question, I will answer the question. If I don't like the question, I will pretend that the question doesn't exist. That's kind of how this segment works. Someone says, CDOT, what are the chances that Whit Merrifield gets traded in the next 2 weeks? 0%. We're at this place at least three times a year, and the Royals have given us no reason to believe that they're trading Whit Merrifield. I'm going to give you guys a little insight into when a player is going to be traded. You see what's happening right now with Damian Lillard? Like all the smoke that's around it? That's when a player, like from radio silence on a player to trading a guy like that in 2 weeks. Am I off on that, Rob? Like trades you normally see coming. You know? You normally see coming. Ben Simmons. No one's going to be like, oh my God, they traded Ben Simmons. The writing is on the wall with how he played in the postseason, the reports. I'm not saying he's going to get traded tomorrow. Ben Simmons will be traded before the start of the NBA season. I understand it's different at the offseason as opposed to the deadline, but did you guys see one single story this All-Star break on the Royals trading Whit Merrifield? Now, I saw stories on Chris Bryant potentially being traded, but most trades start with a rumor. Somebody hears something. If nobody's talking about it, then it ain't happening.
No, your point on their baseball point, but during the All-Star break, we heard from, maybe it's John Morosi, he said, the Cubs are looking to trade Chris Bryant, maybe Anthony Rizzo, and probably Jock Peterson. 2 days later, Jock Peterson traded. You usually, especially in the All-Star break, when everyone in baseball is in one centralized location, if there's smoke to something, those reporters will find the fire. There's been no Whit Merrifield smokes. There's no fire.
No, I agree. I am 100% that is the case. Someone said, where is Jason Kendall? He works for the Royals. I think you
not
told
anymore.
Me you tried to get Jason Kendall and it fell through? Or
correct. I believed he worked for the Royals, but I reached out to the Royals about having him on. And he apparently has left the organization to be closer with his family, and I could not find a contact beyond that.
Who's the player that you felt the closest to coming on the show that didn't come on the show? Because I know some of the people you went after, but I don't know everybody.
Closest but didn't come through would probably be either Chris Getz or probably D. Brown. We emailed a little bit, but it just never materialized into a date and time.
Oh, I would have loved D. Brown.
I'd like D. Brown's one of those guys where he gets back to me tonight or tomorrow and says, whoops, can I do it Monday? We would still take D. Brown. But yeah, he was the closest, but no cigar other than Getz. Getz had agreed to do it and then was like, never mind.
Who do you think is on the show first, D. Brown or a current Royals player?
D. Brown.
I don't really even know on the show who's on the Royals that I would want on the show at this point.
The only person we'd not only take, that's unfair. If Danny Duffy got traded, we would reach out to Duffy.
Yeah, no, Duffy. Duffy is.
But at that point, he wouldn't be a Royal, so we would have reached out to a non-Royal.
Other than Duffy, there's not really a Royal that I would want on the show at this point. Like, what are we going to talk to you about?
If Bobby Witt comes up, and that would, I would take Bobby Witt.
He's not a Royal right now.
Correct.
Though.
That's fair.
I mean, in that situation, yeah, I would be pushing very hard to get Bobby Witt Jr. on the show, but. I mean, I would take Whit Merrifield, but he already comes on a show on the station.
Correct.
There's nobody else I would take that's on the team. I would take Matheny if he wanted to come on the show.
I would too. Same deal.
I don't know if this is the show for him to come on to though. I don't think it's the show. Text line 913-576-7610. Pizza Hut or Papa John's? I actually have not gotten Papa John's since their stance on the national anthem. I couldn't do it. I was just like, there's the places out there. I ain't really rocking with Papa John. They have now fired Papa John. Still haven't gone back. I live like two blocks away from a Domino's. I have made the full switch over to Domino's. The 100% switch to Domino's. I've not paid for a national pizza chain outside of Domino's in a long time.
I'm not in a Domino's delivery zone, so I have kind of made the Pizza Hut my move. Also local, Wichita. Shout out.
Someone said, is Eli Drinkwitz done before this upcoming season, or does he have more up his sleeve? I don't think that. I mean, this is kind of the slow period now for college recruiting. I mean, the season's about to start. I mean, there'll be a little bit more movement between now and then, but I mean, a bulk of the recruiting and commitments were going to happen in the 6 weeks that they had. This is kind of the slow period. I don't really expect a whole lot of movement between now and then. I mean, the next real date is signing day in December, and keeping all these kids, like, the same way that you flip kids, the same thing can happen to you. Like, you can lose a four-star very quickly. Like, you are not winning. That guy gets an offer from a school. Alabama pops up and gives him a committable. Like, you ain't done yet if you're Missouri.
And official visit weekends at, this is no slight to Missouri, happens to a lot of schools. Let's say if you're Ohio State and you want that four-star kid, you have him out for the Michigan game for Ohio State, Michigan for official visit. That game hits a little harder than Mizzou, Florida. You might be able to sway him with the glitz and glam.
Yeah, and then most of those kids are going to wait until close to signing day. Like, you're not really getting a guy of that nature at this point. Who's your favorite Missouri basketball player? Marcus Denman? I'm just from a different era. Yeah, Marcus Denman's probably one on my list. I was a big Kareem Rush guy. I'll throw Ricardo Ratliff. I still love Phil Pressey, too. I'm not going to lie. I still love Phil Pressey. That final year at Mizzou, though, was just so infuriating. Just made me mad every single day. Remember, that's when they would always just lose on a last-second shot because he would just do some foolishness at the end of the game?
He would always get in the lane. You're like, oh, pass it off. Dunk. And then he'd do like a teardrop. It would never work.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. This was a lot of fun this week. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you making us a part of your week. I know that we are in a slow period when it comes to sports. So the fact that any of you give us your ear genuinely means a lot to me. We'll be back on Monday. I'll be here. Rob will be here. I think we may have a surprise next week. We'll keep you guys in the loop. But Rob, let Daniel Craig take it home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.